Once again, God is good. And all the time, God is good. You know, I say that each and every time I stand before you, but it's so true because we didn't have to be here this morning. God provided for us to get up and to be a part of the living world. But thank God that He has control over everything. This morning, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O righteous God, which art in heaven, we are blessed once again by the great God of heaven. We're so thankful that you have given us and extended our lives out to see this new day. We're so thankful for the sunshine, but we would be just as thankful if it was a gray day. We're just so thankful that we have to accept the good with the bad and the bad with the good. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the good weather, though. Thank you. Father, we pray for our leaders in this congregation. We pray for all the members and the brethren and all the members in this congregation, as well as their families. We pray for those who might still be on their way that they may make it here safely. We pray, Father, for those who might be traveling today that if it be your will, you would give them safe passage to their destination and a safe return. Thank you, Father. Father, we're so thankful this morning that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're thankful for that. Father, we pray this morning for all of those people down in Florida where the bridge collapsed. We pray for those families that have lost loved ones. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that there be no criminal activity involved in that. We just pray that everybody did their job putting that bridge together. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for anyone who has lost a loved one this morning, in the recent past. We just pray that you give them strength to carry on. And Father, we know that you are able to clean up the situation that we're in right now with troubles on every hand. We know that you can solve it if you will, if we just but ask and do your will, O Lord. Father, we put ourselves in your hand, and we're asking you to help us to get through this next day that you have given us, the next hour, the next month, the next year, many years that you have given us. We pray for the sick and the shut in, O Lord. We pray and ask you to be with us all this morning. We pray and thank you for Jesus who went to the cross that we might live. He died that we might live. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, and we pray for our politicians who are making the rules and the regulations for us to live by each and every day. We just pray and ask you that they not make any rules that would harm or hinder us from worshiping thee in spirit and truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the first responders that we might require service of someday. We thank you that you might give them strength and wisdom to carry on. We thank you for the soldiers and the troops who stand guard around this world to keep us safe and from all hurt, harm, or danger. Please bless them, Lord. Father, when we have done all that we have been asked to do, when you call our name, give us peace and give us grace within thy sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. From the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4 and verse number 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This morning we want to talk about ministering one to another. The Bible teaches us how to live and how to be saved. It brings salvation to us through Jesus Christ. But it also teaches us daily living and points the way to heaven through words in the Bible. Today I want to speak on something that you have probably heard me speak of before. If so, then it becomes a review for you. To others, it may be new in its entirety. In either case, it is something that we all should take heed to. The word ministering means the act of serving or doing a good deed for one to another. In some cases, ministers refers to one who preaches the gospel. But in the text today, Peter used it to mean fulfilling obligations to others. Christians have a duty to minister one to another. These areas I speak of today are part of our ministering to each other. Number one, we are to pray for one another. Praying for one another is about the best thing a Christian can do for each other. Prayer is something all Christians should keep on their minds at all times. There's power in prayer. Prayer is needed sometimes for people who are in need of prayer, need someone to pray for them because they are hurting. Some need healing. Some need direction. Some may need jobs. Some may be in the middle of making great life decisions. And still others may be just caught up in the things of life. Whatever it may be, prayers are needed by all at one time or another. When we pray, we can oftentimes offer the encouragement needed to help someone. Does not the Bible tell us in James chapter 5 and verse 16 to pray, to confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man abideth much. Let's talk for a minute on that last part of the scripture. The Bible says a righteous man. That means righteous in the gospel, a righteous in the gospel man. Notice verse 17 of that same chapter. Elias was a man subject to the passions as we are. So he was not necessarily a great righteous man, but he had passions just like we are. But he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and it did not for 3.5 years. Isn't that something? 3.5 years he prayed that it would not rain. But I like verse 18, because verse 18 said he prayed again and God sent rain. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying just keep on praying for one another. When a Christian prays for another, his prayer should be in earnest and asking God for something. We must have faith that he can do what we ask him to do. Otherwise, why ask if you don't believe in faith? You know, prayer is a good thing. The Bible speaks of prayer, and even it refers us to Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane that the cup would pass from him. But if not, Father, he said, let your will be done. Lord, I know that everything is in your hand. I'm just asking you to not make me drink from this cup, but if I have to, let your will be done. We are to love one another. And you know I harp on this all the time. Christians are our family and we should be loving toward one another. Surely we will disagree and have little spats. Sometimes we get hurt and have hard feelings. But deep down we should love one another. And we should soon forget the hard and the hurt feelings that we are in, that we may soon be back in good standing with one another. It is a sad occasion when we fail loving one another. For Jesus himself commanded us in John 13, chapter 34 and verse number 35. He said in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. But then in verse 35, I want you to notice this verse. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You've got to love one another. I don't care if you're mad at me. I don't care if you don't like the way I dress. I don't care if you don't like the way I walk or the way I talk. You've got to love me. And I've got to love you back. But my love is not predicated upon your love. I've got to love you whether you love me or not. If I have learned one thing about church folk, it is this. We too have troubles and problems. We go through storms as well as the world, and we need a helping hand too. Even the preacher needs a helping hand sometimes. The preacher falls into dire straits from time to time. So when you pray, please pray for me. You know what I like to say around here. You pray for me and I'll pray for you. But even if you don't pray for me, I'm going to still pray for you just the same. We go through these storms, and as we are going through our storm sometime, we just need prayer. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying a troubled person needs love and encouragement, because the sun does not always shine on our side of the street. We are going to have some days, some hard days and hard times. But what believers have is the Lord and one another to learn on. I've read somewhere in the Word of God over in Matthew where the Bible says, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Learn to bear, and we also remember reading where we are told that we are to bear one another's burdens so as to fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, minister one to another. Help somebody through their times of trouble. You know, helping somebody is a good thing. When somebody is down and out, they don't need you to tell them the story about somebody you knew one time that had the same problem as you, but he died. They don't need to hear that. They need to hear, "I'm going to pray for you and try to give you a little encouragement. I'm going to pray for you and try to get you through what you're going through." You never know what a person is going through. I can walk around with my head up in the air all the time, but I still might be going through something. And when I'm going through something, I need a little love, a little encouragement, and a little prayer too. We are to forgive one another. Have you ever heard of a Christian speaking of another Christian of whom he has a fault with? The conversation may go something like this. "Yeah, preacher, I know what the Bible says, but I just can't forgive him for what he did to me. I remember it like it was yesterday. In reality, it was really 20 years ago, though." Then the preacher might remind the angry Christian of Ephesians 4 and 32, where it tells us to be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Watch this. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Did you forget that? If you're angry at somebody over nothing, something trivial, something meaningless, 20 years from yesterday, we should never, as Christians, entertain thoughts of resentment or violent tendencies toward others. The verse says, be kind to one another. This implies that we have love for one another. Since we are forgiven of God, we too should be willing to forgive others. Today's text tells us to minister to one to another. This is not the same meaning as the minister who stands in the pulpit and preaches. Peter uses the term to mean help one another. And it may as well tell you right now, we must get this right, church, or else the other will not matter. We have got to love, we have got to pray, and we've got to encourage and forgive one another. There will be no haters in heaven, no deceivers, no unforgiveness. So we need to make sure it's right down here in order to get up there. Jesus told us already, in order to be his disciples, we must love one another. The reason I talk on this subject so often is because I want you to get it right down here. We call ourselves Christian. Now notice that word Christian. The first word in that word Christian is Christ. You can't spell Christian without spelling Christ. And we can't spell church without spelling you. This is why I know we should be in the church of Christ. We need to be in the church so that you can be a part of Christ. Don't let another day pass you by before you decide to put him on through baptism. I tell you all of this while I still can. As I've told you before, and you know what I'm going to say now, I won't be able to help you when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to be trying to help myself. That's why I tell you this now, so you can get it right now, so you'll be on your own, because I won't be able to help you. When you call my name, I'm not going to even turn around, because I'm going to be facing the master, and I'm going to be trying to defend my own self. This is why I keep telling you all this while there's still time to get it right with the Lord. Do your ministering to others now while that you still can. Let us go back to the text for a moment. As each one has received a gift, minister it one to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given us this gift. We are to use it to minister one to another. Well, preacher, sometimes I just can't minister to nobody else because I don't know how. Well, study your Bible and you'll learn how. You'll learn to love, pray, and encourage and forgive one another. Preacher, I just wish I could forgive like the Bible says. Well, if you don't, you're going to be hell bound. If you don't do what the Bible says, you're going to be hell bound. You've got to learn to minister one to another at all times. And what does it take to minister one to another? Well, just take your willingness one to another to minister to each other. Then, while I'm ministering to you, I can make sure that you get it. If I know it, I'll give it to you. If I don't know it, I can't give it to you, but I'll try my best to straighten you out and to help you to get it right. When the Lord made man, when God made man, he also made a woman from the rib of that man. And brothers, I may as well tell you now, she was to be a help meet to you. And I know what we say sometimes, I don't need her to help me. But you get yourself in trouble there a lot. So what you want to do is learn to accept her help. Now I know many men are guilty of saying to themselves, well, I'm the man, I'm supposed to do this. But you can't do everything. You've got to, this is also a form of ministering one to another now. I'm not going too far away from where I'm at. You can minister to your own spouse. It says minister to others. It says be kind to one another. Love one another, praying for one another. Remember all that God has given you and share it with one another. Remember what God has done for you and share it with one another. Now I tell you one thing about it this morning, church. We don't live on an island. In other words, you can't be alone in your ministry. You got to minister to others. Then he says, ministering to one another, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A good steward. A steward is somebody who's been entrusted with something of someone else's. So you've been entrusted of God to be a good steward, to use what you have been given. Then, when I consider all the goodness that God has done for us, ask yourself this question. Lord, I could not do it by myself. And you helped me to do it, Lord. So I want you to think about just what God has done for you. Now, you need to get it right with the Lord. Do your ministering to others right now while you still can. And, you know, when it comes to the church, you need to make sure you make up your mind. Don't pass on before you put on Christ through baptism. I'll tell you something, church. When I say God is good every Sunday morning that I stand before you, I mean that God is good. All the time, and he's good to all of us. If you don't think God has been good to you, ask yourself this one question. How did I get up this morning? Why am I here? Lord, can you help me to make it through one more day? Lord, can you give me one more day to get it right? And you know, you have to accept each and every day as it may be your last one. If it's your last one, you don't want to go out with a bang. You want to go out with a good thing in your mind. You want to be right with Christ if you go out. When you came to church this morning, ask yourself this question. When you came to church this morning, why did you come to church? What was on your mind when you came to church? Now, I know some of the young folk came because they were made to come. But some of you older folks, you need some encouragement yourself because you need to get up and come to church. I hesitate to say what I got in my mind, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Some older folk need to start all over again. They need to get it right this time. I guarantee you won't have another time to get it right. This is the only life you are given, the one that you're in right now. There is no second chance at life. Oh yeah, you might get sick and think you're on your deathbed and you come out of your sickness, but there is no other life for you to lead but this one. There is no other life for you to get right but this one. There is no better time than this time to get it right with the Lord. And when I think about it, some folk can't make up their mind about being baptized. But I'm going to tell you something. The church is right and Jesus Christ is right. The church is the right church. The church is the only church that Jesus ever built in Matthew 16 and 18. Upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll tell you something. If God built it, it's right. God didn't make no mistake when he created and built the Lord's church. He knew what he was doing. And I don't care how many religious denominations you see out there. If they're not Church of Christ, they're not called for in the Bible. If they're not Church of Christ, it's not the right church. And I know what some folk like to tell you, oh, we have a good time in my church. But then they throw in the bad part. We play bingo on Thursday nights. Or we have social night on Monday night. But I'll tell you now, I'm not going to be a part of a social night. I'm not setting up no date for anybody. Because the first time something go wrong, you're going to say, it's your fault, preacher. You put us together, it's your fault. So I'm not taking responsibility for that. I'm not taking responsibility of you having a dance in the church. Somebody get to dancing too close with somebody else and there goes a fight. Somebody gets to stepping on somebody's toe and there goes a fight. Now I tell you, sometimes it's all right to fellowship. Now that's different, fellowshiping one with another. If you look in your bulletin day, it talks about our fellowship day coming up in May, I believe it is. Now that's different. Because we're going to eat. And nobody doesn't like to eat. None of us does not like to eat. And when we eat, then we get to talking to one another and share a mouthful as well as a stomach full. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's all right to have a fellowship day because it's all within the framework of the Lord. But I'm not going to create a social night once again. I'm not going to play bingo because somebody is going to eventually play in bingo because somebody's going to say, well, I'll bet you. And then they're going to start the gambling part. And I'm not in with that. But then it's all right if you are ministering to one another. It's not all right for me to say, let me just rephrase that. It's not all right if you do this at bingo. If you do this at bingo, you minister one to another, that's all right. But somebody's going to take it the wrong way. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that somebody's going to take something wrong. And then that might be that same Christian who 20 years later remember that night at bingo. Remember what you did? Sister Bullock, it's good to see you. I'm just thanking God this morning. I think it's still morning. Yeah, I'm just thanking God this morning for raising me up this morning. I'm just thanking God for raising me up and letting me get up. And then when I came on my way to church, I was thinking as I was driving, God is good. Look at this day. Look at the conditions of this day that we are in. You know, we could have 6 feet of snow out, 6 inches of snow out there on the ground. But God has seen well enough and he gave us a bright and a sunshiny day. Thank God for that. Now, why wouldn't you want to come and praise the Lord for what he has done for us? Look, just look around you. Everybody dressed so nice and so, I think everybody has a smile on their face. If you're not smiling, you ought to be smiling. Because God is good, you ought to be smiling because if nothing else, he gave you a chance to worship him in spirit and truth once again. He gave you an opportunity to come out from your house to his house. He gave you an opportunity to meet with your brothers and sisters. He gave us all an opportunity to be together and serve him, fellowship and serve him in spirit and in truth. Now, you know, the downside of that is you could have been laying up in a hospital bed somewhere. Could have been at your death's door. But God has seen fit to leave us here and we ought to take another opportunity to minister to one another. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Let somebody know what they may not already know. Tell them something about the Lord. Let them know how good God really is. You know, I spoke a few minutes ago and I told you that everybody, even Christian folk, have problems sometimes. And a Christian with a problem is a problem. Because it's not a deep problem, because we know the Lord. Or we should know the Lord. And if you know the Lord, you can go to Him and ask Him to get you out of the situation that you're in. I got another couple of minutes and then I'm going to take my seat. When a Christian has problems, that is a problem. Because you are supposed to be able to go to God, and if you've been a true Christian, a good Christian, a faithful Christian, a believing Christian, God can help you out of the situation. Remember what James said, the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man? If you are a righteous man, then you ought to be able to get your prayer through. Now, I don't know how many or who in here can get a prayer through, but I believe there's somebody that can get a prayer through. It might be me. It might not be me. But somebody in here can get a prayer through. And if you're in need of prayer, that's why you come before the church when you stand here. You ask the church to pray for you. If you're already a Christian. But if you're not a Christian, you come before the church and ask to be baptized. Now, when things get rough, you can call on Christ then too. When things get out of hand and out of reach, you can call on Him too. You know, some of us, and it may not be anybody in here, but some of us in life in general, we go to the doctors because we don't feel good or something is hurting us. And by the time you leave the doctor's office, you may have as many pills as Walgreens got. You may have to take so many pills you forget to take them sometimes. But nevertheless, God is showing you a way out to ease your pain and give you comfort and relaxation. That's why when you go to the doctor, I've heard people say, Brother Jackson, I went to the doctor, but I ain't paying him no attention. He wants me to take all these pills, and these pills don't work for me. Well, why did you go? Why did you go? That's why we have to minister to one another, so we can let one another know that if the doctor prescribed it for you, you need to make sure you know why he prescribed it to you, and then ask him, what is it supposed to do for me? And if he can explain those questions to you, then you make your decision about it. But you know, there's nothing wrong with taking pills, because I take them. I had to learn to get used to taking pills, because a few years ago, I thought I would never have to take a pill. Now I take several pills. For most of us have high blood pressure. Some of us have diabetes. Some of us have high cholesterol. Some of us have all kinds of ailments. But you can't predicate not taking your pills now because you used to didn't have to take a pill. I used to could run across Stony Island. Now I barely can walk across Stony Island. But I'm telling you something. We've got to learn to minister one to another so that we can teach each other the Word of God. And when you teach the Word of God, learn to minister one to another, teaching the Word of God, you can't go wrong. Because the Word of God is right. All the time. Not some of the time, but all the time. So with that, I guess I've said enough this morning. Now, if you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you started out long ago on the road, but you fell astray, you fell off the road, you can come back to the Lord, ask Him to forgive you, come forward, ask the church to pray with you, that you might gather strength. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.